The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
To the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one, Terry Cushman at CushmanMLB and Juan Liriano at Juan on MLB. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Just as the subject says, Brian Baio, another disaster class, loses it for the Boston Red Sox in the first inning alone. They managed to allow two more runs en route of losing 8-2. Before we get into it, just a quick temperature check. Terry, where are you and how are you feeling?
You know, even with our starter today, I thought we were going to have a chance based on how their starter has been pitching. And the last time we faced him, that was the 17-1 game where, ironically, Alex Cora was fired. Hoping for a pass and bomb this afternoon. I mean, Fire Breslow watch is officially underway, but it was exactly the opposite of that 17-1 game in April. And nothing good came out of today.
One.
I just knew walking into this game that the offense was going to have to show up. You're looking at the other pitcher, the opponent's pitcher, and seeing his ERA, I kind of knew that we were going to walk into this game, not put up enough runs in order to win the game because we're going to have to. And it just kind of stinks that the game finished within the first, 15 minutes? It absolutely stinks to be a Sox fan right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that every fifth day it feels like we need a babysitter for the first inning because we have a guy listed as a starter who can't start, but he's incredible as a reliever. And so my temperature right now is continuing to get colder and colder. I don't know if I'm quite at 1.9 where Jeremy was at recently when I went on with him, but it's really frustrating that every fifth game it's an automatic L because we don't have a starter. And even when we have an opener for the starter, that's also like a rough game. It doesn't matter. It's like the first inning every fifth game is automatic L territory, and it just doesn't get any better. So temperature check, obviously, we're all aligned. It's not really fun. It's a tough time to be a Red Sox fan. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, it feels like community service every single time we have to watch a game for these guys. So Juan, I know you want to start us off, so please go ahead, take it away.
You have to start with Brian Baio. I've kind of said this before. I'm done with the Brian Baio experiment. I am not one of those fans that's going to say, well, if the opener worked out, why not continue to do the opener? No, you're paying this guy to be a starting pitcher. I'm not doing this with him anymore. I'm just done. I've never seen a pitcher just completely melt in the beginning of the game. You look at his ERA per inning. He has a 16.88 ERA in the first inning, 4.09 in the second inning, and it kind of goes down from there. He can't figure it out. And at this point, we're not talking about Early. We're not talking about Peyton Tolley. This is a guy that's been here for years, and he has yet to figure it out. I'm all about done with Brian Baio. Obviously, you're going to need him now because you don't know what's happening with Garrett Crochet, so you're going to have to start him no matter what. Unless you bring up someone from AAA and maybe see if that works out. But I'm kind of done with the Brian Baio experiment. It just hasn't worked out. And I'm not going to be one of those that's going to baby him and have an opener. And I'm actually surprised to go on X and see the amount of fans that are actually crushing Chad Tracy, or if you want to say Craig Breslow, because he's the one making the calls, that's actually crushing them rather than crushing Bale and saying, well, the opener worked out. Why not continue to do the opener? Well, because you're paying him to be a starting pitcher. And I'm just not going to baby him. You can either start or guess what? You're not pitching for the Boston Red Sox. That's where I'm at with Brian Bayo.
Terry.
There's a lot of mysteries in life. The DB Cooper bank robbery hijacking, unsolved. Amelia Earhart, unsolved. You could say the Kennedy assassination. Trying not to get too dark here. And then Brian Bayo in the first inning, you know, and he different guy in the second inning on. I don't know what it is. And look at it from the Red Sox standpoint, from Tracy, from Breslow standpoint. You could put an opener in front of him, and they have. But doesn't that make you look like a failure of an organization that you can't fix Brian Bayo? I mean, that's on one hand.
That's a rhetorical question, right? That's a rhetorical question.
I'm not saying it's all on them either. I mean, Bayo, clearly there's something in his head. And I don't blame the Red Sox for starting him. I wouldn't have blamed them for using an opener. I mean, he's a major league pitcher in his fifth or sixth year. So eventually, he's a veteran now. Let's frame it that way. He is a veteran. He should be cagey enough to figure it out. The other thing that's perplexing to me about it is he doesn't seem rattled in the first inning. He looks very composed. You don't see him having many meltdowns out there. And there was a situation, I think it was in the first inning, where Narvaez wanted to come out and have a quick mound visit. Bayo tried waving him off, but he came out anyway. They had a quick conference. I'll say this. We definitely have a Bayo problem, but four of those six runs were on Durbin for not making what should have been a fairly clean tag. Like, Barsalo was out by a mile. Barsalo is a big hulk of a man, you know, doesn't move fast. I would boldly assume he is the slowest runner on that Orioles team, slower than Pete Alonso, who's pretty damn slow. And he was out by a mile, but because it was a sloppy tag, the inning continued and more runs scored. I think Mayo came up right after, if I'm not mistaken. A lot went on. But so Durbin is a big part of what happened today as well.
Yeah, I think it's fair to give a little bit of blame there too, because they teach you when you're playing Little League, you keep the tag on there. And I mean, back in the day, it used to be like a quick tag, because they even mentioned it on the air. Like, you just try to get a quick tag and try to steal that out, right? Well, now with cameras and reviews and appeals and all that, you have to keep the hand on or the glove on that runner until you have a clear out or safe call. There are some teams that play smart baseball, and that's like a simple thing now. You got to have the common sense. Brian Bayo's ERA jumped from 11.74 with one out, or excuse me, two outs, a runner at third, and it was 1-0, to then 5-0. It jumped from 11.74 to 16.43 because of that play. You get the out at third, the inning is over, and we actually lower that ERA, which seems crazy, because his second inning is 4.09. His third inning is 4.91. His second and third inning, his fourth inning is 9.64. So it's something with the first three batters that he has to face. He just can't get it done. And it's really frustrating. So Bayo, they showed a graphic. 54% of his pitches were strikes. He hit a batter. He was all over the place, all over the show. 33 total pitches at the time of that graphic. 21 strikes, 18 balls. His entire pitching line for the day: five innings, seven hits on, eight runs on seven hits. He struck out, I think, four, walked three, and it was 107 or 108 pitches. That is so ungodly bad. That is like the worst performance, period. Now, the frustrating thing about Bayo for me right now, it's Brian Bayo starting versus him relieving. As a starter coming into today, seven games, 1-6, 9.68 ERA. 30 2/3 innings pitched. In four games as a reliever, he's still 1-3 with a 0.71 ERA. I have to try so hard not to swear, but what the is happening there? That doesn't make any sense. Video games can't do this. How do you go from being an absolute nothing pitcher when you start to being baseball Jesus when you relieve? You've given up 10 home runs as a starter, zero as a reliever. You got 22 strikeouts in 25 innings as a reliever. You have 18 strikeouts and 18 walks as a starter in 30 2/3 innings pitched before today's disaster class of a performance. The Boston Red Sox are so bad, they can't even do the bad things right. That's how bad this team is right now. And when you have a starter that looks like Bambi on ice and it's just classic awful, you can say whatever you want about the fact that you won 8-1. You piss that performance away by getting blown out in the first inning of the third game of this series. We've been saying 2-7 is a profound possibility of that 9-game set. We're 1-2 so far, so there's a chance we go 1-5 to just button it up right now. This is such a bad team. I feel bad for people that actually subject themselves to going to Fenway. Sorry, Juan. Who pay to see this team right now. It is so bad. I don't think I've cussed so many times in the first inning of a game, full stop. That's where we are right now with the Boston Red Sox, and that's where we are with Brian Bale. Anything else?
This is why I'm not willing. Yeah, we can bring up the Durbin era that led to more runs. But the fact of the matter is that he's getting into trouble in the very first inning. And it happens every single time. What that tells me is something's not clicking. Something's not clicking in his mind. Maybe he doesn't trust himself. He doesn't know what he's doing when he's facing the batter for the first time. I have no idea. But the fact of the matter is he's not clicking. So I'm not going to bring up the Durbin thing because you can use it to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to do that. I think if the Red Sox were serious about winning, he shouldn't start another game. You want to use him out of the bullpen, then he's a bullpen arm. He's not a starter. Then go ahead and do that. But me, I'm done. I'm done with Brian Bayo. I don't think he should get another chance. But again, you know the Red Sox aren't serious about winning, so they're going to keep doing the same crap over and over again.
Bayo threw 40 pitches in the first inning. He threw 42 pitches over the following three after that. So you're at 82 pitches. You're at about a 20 and a half pitch average. But at 42 pitches, you're averaging 14 for the next three innings. How do you find yourself throwing three times the pitch number of the first inning? What is it about the first inning that you just that he just can't get? I mean, I'm past being angry and like upset and screaming because like, doesn't do anything. A lot of people are out on Brian Bayo. I just don't understand how this person has fallen so far. How do you pitch the way you do as a starter one way, and then as a reliever, you put on the cape and you do something that literally no one else in baseball can do? It just doesn't make any sense. I have no words.
It has to be mental because you go back to last year, he was rolling. He was having a breakout year, came into the month of September. I think he held the Yankees to either one run or no runs in Yankee Stadium. It was a Friday night game. It was a big game because we were in the midst of a playoff run. I was still skeptical at the time. I'm like, this could all come crashing down in September. Wouldn't be the first time we've witnessed that. And it was a big start, but it was really the last great start we've seen from him. And that has to be mental. And it came crashing down so fast for him. Connelly early started what would have been Bayo's game in the wild card series against the Yankees. So, you know, it sucks. And here's another thing too. If you trade him, I've mentioned this before, but another team would turn him into a stud. you'd be selling at the absolute bottom, just like you did Kyle Harrison. Another team would probably turn him into a stud. And it would probably be the most minor adjustment. And Breslow in the front office would look like an ass. That's probably why they don't want to trade him.
So you know what they did with Kyle Harrison, right?
They gave him a changeup or something like
that? They might have added a pitch to it, but they said they looked at my video and they changed my arm slot 18% or 27% or something like that. They changed the arm slot, right? The Dodgers for Ryan Brazier, they're like, throw a cutter. And he went from having an ERA of 4 to 0.74. How effing dumb are you of a franchise that you didn't clock that? I mean, on top of not giving him a chance. He changed his arm rotation. That's it. The arm slot is different. I'll have to find the article of that, but it's like, you want to talk about the all-time dumb franchises. You got the New York Knicks, who all of a sudden now they're in the playoffs and they're fighting for an NBA title. But for decades, they were a joke, man. They couldn't be run. You'd have six-year-olds that could do a better job than like who own the Knicks and whatnot. That's the Boston Red Sox right now. They're actively working to try to help 29 teams while simultaneously effing themselves. That's what's happening right now.
It speaks to the bigger issue with this team. You know we don't have the talent. It's management. It's the upper management. They don't know how to construct a roster. They don't know how to communicate with their players. And guess what? They don't know how to help their players actually get to that major league level talent that we all expected them to be. And I wouldn't doubt that that's been the issue with Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, the three guys that we were promised, and guess what? They haven't delivered. I don't care if Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony are at the major league level. They haven't delivered. They're not what we were promised. And that speaks to those guys that are developing these players and those guys that are putting these teams together. They don't belong where they are. They don't deserve to have that position. And yet here we are in 2026. We freaking stink. That's what we are as a franchise. We stink.
Like I said, you know, we're on fire Breslow watch here, and I think we have been for a couple weeks now. He was asked on WEI what he thinks about his situation, you know, if he's concerned, if he feels vulnerable, for lack of a better word, I'm paraphrasing. But he just continues to play it off and says, my focus is to try to help fix this team. And we keep hearing they're aggressively pursuing a right-handed bat. And there was a report yesterday, I forget where it came from, but it was, you know, widely talked about on social media, that the Red Sox may have to take on a bad contract in order to get that bat. In other words, we're going to have to take on another team's Trevor Story or Masataka Yoshida if we want that bat. So right away, I'm like, I'm not even interested. I'd just rather hopefully have a new executive start over next year.
Well, here's the crazy thing too, is that the Red Sox might not play baseball. There might not be baseball in 2027. So you're going to take on a contract for who knows how many years. And I know one of the last shows, there was a discussion about bringing on Bo Bichette. I'm not totally against something like that. I know it's crazy money and the Mets are a dumpster fire too. Like they just can't seem to get it right. There is some familiarity with the Bichette family. Like Dante Bichette played for the Boston Red Sox for a short while. There is some familiarity there as well. Maybe there's a chance that Bo would be interested in wanting to come to New England. I don't know. But you're right, Terry. This isn't a destination city, so no one's going to raise their hand and say, please ship me to Boston. That's the last place I'd want to go. This is where, like, this is like the, you know, where the fun toys go to die. That's basically what it feels like. And the Mets are no different, right? The Mets have an abundance of, like, a crazy amount of talent, and they can't get it done. Boston Red Sox are the same thing. They're New York, New England. It's just brutal. Everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. And all the injuries, What's the point of rushing somebody like Roman Anthony or Garrett Gershay back? To come back for a lost season that we're absolutely going to get pantsed on? No, thank you. If I'm Garrett Gershay, I'm like, bro, I'm done for the year, man. There's no point for me coming back. We can't get there. I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, well, we're a bat away or two bats away from being a wild card team. You're three wild card games or four wild card games out right now. That's right now. There's still July, August, and September. Don't worry, kids. The Boston Red Sox will find a new way to absolutely skull bleep you here, and it's happening. One game at a time. 8-2 today. 12-1 tomorrow. Take your hats off, kids. It's going to be real, real fun. Real fun.
And the idea that now, I mean, that the whole Breslow thing just kills me. Because now is the time that you want to say, well, I'm looking for a right-handed hitter. You had all offseason to do that.
Right.
The entire offseason, right? The one guy on the opponent on the other side of the field, which is Pete Alonso, was out there. And you were so concerned with trying to win every single negotiation because you think you're the smartest guy in the room. Well, guess what? You're not, right? That was your chance to bring in a right-handed bat. And now you want to come and say, well, yeah, now we want a right-handed bat. Who's out there? And guess what? You're going to have to do something that you have shown you're not willing to do, which is to get uncomfortable. You're not going to do that. You have shown that for years now. You're not going to do that. So that's all baloney. You know they're not going to do anything. The season is a failure. And the only thing that's going to help this season, at least us Red Sox fans, is if Breslow is gone. If he's fired. Yeah. That's a win for me. That's a win for me.
Let's shift over, Terry. I know that there's someone in particular you want to talk about. We've been talking about right-handed power hitters. We could have had one. Didn't do it. But what's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Pete Alonso all series long. He was 5-for-12 in the three games. Drove in two in the first game. That was on a piss missile of a home run. Just a line drive up towards the light tower. I thought it was going to go off the top of the monster. Struck out once each game, drew one walk. I mean, he was the guy. He was the surefire guy that was going to be a massive presence on the heart of this lineup. And you can just see how well he vibes with his team. Like, there's nobody cooler, I don't think, than Pete Alonso. And you want your team to have an identity? He was the J.D. Martinez of last winter's class. He really was. And it sucks kind of competing against him. It sucks that we were outbid by the Orioles. I think if we would have matched their offer, just simply matched it, you didn't have to beat it, he probably chooses Boston. He probably chooses Boston. But Breslow is just so incompetent. And one thing about him real quick, part of the conundrum he's in is all 29 other top executives and every other team knows he's desperate. They know that they can fleece him and that there's no way he's going to get his guy without being fleeced. So Breslow has put himself at a massive disadvantage. And it came out, what, a day or two ago that he needs an interpreter to talk to the players, and not a foreign language interpreter, like an interpersonal communication interpreter to help him communicate with players, to be more personable, to be more relatable. That's just how bad he is. And if he's bad at that with the players, just imagine how bad he is with Scott Boras and all the other top agents and all the other top executives in these other teams. That's the moron Craig Breslow is, and he's not going to fix anything. He's just going to make it worse.
Juan.
I mean, you're now begging to get a guy like, you know, to get a right-handed hitter. You're putting it out there. What do you think you're going to have to give up? And I love what Terry mentioned, that teams know the Red Sox are desperate for a right-handed hitter now. So you know, teams know that you're desperate. What do you think you're going to have to give up to not get talent for this team? You're going to have to give up more than you had to during the offseason. It was so simple. Don't go into the room lowballing players, because I, if I'm remembering correctly, that's what happened with Pete Alonso. I think they offered him a contract where I think they had an option after each year for a player like Pete Alonso. Like, read the room. Read the market. You knew that teams were going to go out there and give a 4 or 5 year contract. I know the latter years of those contracts are not good, but guess what? You have to, you know, offer these types of contracts if you want to compete. You look at what the Yankees have done time and time again. Yeah, they haven't won since 2009, but guess what? They're competitive every single year because they're not afraid to spend. Well, yeah, you know, Stanton, his contract is awful, but he helps us win in the playoffs. Judge's contract in the latter years, it's not going to be great. But guess what? Right now, he's arguably the best player in baseball, and he's going to help us win now. You have to focus on building a freaking roster that's going to help you win in the now. And the problem is that this organization is not going to do that. They're not about that anymore. And it just stinks. It sucks to see that.
If I'm another team, I'm not listening to anything unless Tolley or Early is in that deal. And me, as a fan, I'm not giving either one of them up for anyone.
Correct. And here's the problem. It's going to involve one of those two guys. It's going to involve Franklin Arias' name, and his name's also off the board, right? We always say, like, Jeremy would crucify me for this, like, you have to trade unproven talent for or you have to trade prospects for proven talent if you're in that spot, right? You don't know what's going to happen to Franklin Arias. But wouldn't it just be the most Boston Red Sox thing ever if Franklin Arias just turns out to be a future like Mookie Betts or something insane? This is a 20-year-old shortstop. They project him to possibly be up next year, torching it in the minors. You've already shelled. You've lost Tibbs because you wanted to get Dustin May. And you're right, Terry. If the trade doesn't involve one of those two pitchers, hang up the phone. And let the Boston Red Sox just continue being the Boston Red Sox. Because if they're not going to allow themselves to get fleeced, well, they let themselves get fleeced for this deal. How come they won't do it for me? What the heck? And that's basically what it is, man. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's conversations involving one of those two, plus Arias or, you know, Justin Gonzalez or Jake Bennett or like one of those names in there just because they can. And honestly, I can't wait for this year to be over soon enough. I cannot wait for it. It's absolutely imperative that we just hit reset. And it's not going to happen until Breslow's gone. Because teams in their brains right now think and know, I can take advantage of this team. I can get what I want at my price. They could do what you do, Terry, for cars and life, right? Whatever you want at your price, you get it, right? That's 29 major league teams with the Boston Red Sox. They get their guy at their price. We get a guy at a price. And sometimes it's too high. So that's where we are right now. You know, we could have had Alonso. We didn't get him. And going into this year, I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be this bad, but it was bad.
I love wheeling and dealing, but you know, look at the in-season trades Breslow has made so far. He's been here for two trade deadlines, and the bar was always set at the other team's dumpster. James Paxton was a DFA candidate in the dumpster. Dodgers didn't want him. Dustin May, DFA candidate in the dumpster. I think also still the Dodgers, again, did not want him. That's where Breslow does his shopping. He does not know how to execute high-level negotiations for major pieces. Now, in the offseason, he did do Sonny Gray. He did do Wilson Contreras and then Garrett Crochet the season before. Those were winter moves where it's kind of a different animal. You know, when the season starts, we're in a grind. Teams have different goals, different levels of urgency, different levels of anxiety. You know, you don't have the slower pace of the winter to try to, you know, make those deals happen. And he just needs to go. He just needs to go. I said yesterday, I forgot the tweet. Chaim Bloom had the Bluminati. Dave Dombrowski had the love and respect of the Red Sox fan base. All Craig Breslow has is Sam Kennedy. That's it. The Bresbians are gone. There's no more Bresbians. The Bresbians have surrendered.
I don't know what else there is to say to that. I think that's just going to bring us right into our third point, which is Breslow. I mean, this is absolutely incredible that your baseball of present baseball operations needs help to talk to the players in the same language. That's mind-blowing. But a couple points. It's not news today or yesterday or the day before that Theo Epstein has been beyond disappointed with the Sox analytical approach to baseball. That's not good if Theo Epstein is saying that, the architect for winning not one but two World Series titles here in Boston, and then proceed to win another one for another team with some of the players that played, in Boston in the past. He's that guy. He's that good. And now David Ortiz is saying the same thing, where they know that the team should be better than they're performing right now, and people are worried in ownership with the direction that the Boston Red Sox are going in. I think it was you, Terry, that mentioned this once before. If you're hearing this as the president of baseball operations, how do you not already see this is your final year, if you're lucky, in baseball? Ever. You will never hold another position as president or general manager when 29 other teams know they can fleece you, because they don't want a guy that can get fleeced running their team. They don't want a guy that can get fleeced making decisions for their team, or a guy that can't even communicate with their players. You think you're so much smarter than everybody else, and you don't get it. If you're in a room of 29 people and you're the 30th guy and you think everyone's getting on, there's always one guy that people are talking crap about. If you think nobody's talking crap, you're the guy that they're talking crap about. You're that guy. You're the guy that doesn't get it. You don't have a clue. You are trying to find another way to reinvent the wheel. Guess what? We've had wheels for 100 plus years, 200 years, whatever it is, on cars and even before that. Why are you trying to make something different? Why? Why are you trying to make something that wasn't broke? Why are you trying to fix something that didn't need fixing? You have set us so far back now. The Boston Red Sox are in a place now where we might not even be competitive for the next 2 to 3 years. And you continue making moves that detrimentally affect this team for the next 3 years, really means 4 to 5 years. At that point, Anthony or Meyer, one of those two, are probably not here anymore. A lot of the names for the Boston Red Sox are probably not here. Those contracts are up. They either retire, they get traded, they end up moving to another team. Your entire team gets overhauled. It would just be an absolute crapshoot. That's the Boston Red Sox now because of this guy. It has never been this bad.
With all the respect to Theo, and I have so much respect to him because growing up, he built those Red Sox teams with Manny and David. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear from you unless you're coming in here and you're being responsible for building this team. I don't want to hear from you. You're the reason why Craig Breslow's here in the first place. If you're not going to help this team, if you're not going to help construct the team, then just take a back seat. I know that this is, John Henry's plan to get rid of Craig Breslow, have him do the podcast, and now have him come out here and give an opinion about Craig Breslow. I don't want to hear from you. We know this guy is not qualified for this position. We know that. And yet you allowed him to go through the offseason, built the type of roster that he built, and now even into June, looking at what we've had, he still has a job. I'm pretty sure what's going to happen here is Craig Breslow is going to get the opportunity to do something in the trade deadline, and I'm just going to lose it. I'm going to lose it as a fan. If you allow this guy to further damage what he's already destroyed, that's what this is looking like. They're going to allow him to go to the trade deadline again and just completely demolish his team. And I can't believe that.
I'll say two more things real quick, right? Easiest job in the country. be the effing weather person in either LA or San Diego. You can't go wrong. You might make one mistake all year. Worst job or most uncomfortable job to have in this country for what it feels like right now is being Craig Breslow of the Boston Red Sox. How is it that you still have your job when the person you faced in his last seven starts is 0-6 with an ERA north of 10? How do you still have your job when your starter couldn't even get out of the first inning? This is another game where the Boston Red Sox lost in the first inning. It's 5-0 at the time. Boston Red Sox already lost the game. I already knew coming on the show, we lost the game. And it wasn't even the end of the first half inning. That's how bad it was. Their starter so bad they couldn't even get that right. So are we going to wait for the Boston Red Sox to blow out another team 17-1, 15-1, 15-2, whatever, before we fire him? Please, let's not wait. Let's just get it done. Rip off the Band-Aid. Let's put somebody else in there. Theo, at this point, no blame. Do whatever you can with this team at this point. I know you don't want to just be the GM because, honestly, I don't think anybody would want to raise their hand and be like, yeah, sure, please. Give me the keys to a car, but completely, like, black out the windshield. And I don't know how fast or I don't know what's in front of me, but I'm told I have to go 80 miles an hour. And there's no seatbelt in the car. That's basically what's happening right now. It's absolutely brutal.
So Chris in the stream says Driveline has destroyed this team. And the interesting thing we learned just today is that Caleb Durbin is going to some facility that specializes in helping batters swing. So I don't know if they're affiliated with Driveline. I'm guessing they're not. And if not, I wonder if this is a step of finally admitting they're wrong and getting away from it. Secondly, if Breslow's still here at the deadline, I highly doubt he will be. I think it would be strictly to sell at that point. I don't think we're going to be acquiring assets for August, September, and definitely not October. And then lastly, I think what we're seeing with the John Henry comments, with the Theo comments, is maybe they're putting up the bat signal. They want somebody to call, somebody who might be interested to call and say, let's have a conversation. And for everyone who's saying, oh, who would want to work for John Henry? I think you're seeing the desperation right now. I think John Henry is being confronted by all of his faults and all of his bad leadership attributes over the last 5 or 6 years. I think they're staring him in the face every day. And I think the next executive that does come in, that's brave enough to do the job, will have Dave Dombrowski-like flexibility with this roster. I'm not saying we're going to spend like the Yankees, the Mets, and the Dodgers, but they will have flexibility to build a competitive roster. And I just think they're hoping someone will call to get that ball rolling. And who knows if it's happened yet, but I don't know. And what if Theo has to do it for a year? What if he has to do it for the remainder of this year, maybe one more year beyond, and just to kind of level things off, calm things down, and show other executives we can still win in Boston? And you know, that's far-fetched.
Perfect world where all the stars align. Sure. Do you think he's going to do that? No. He's got a legacy in Boston. He doesn't want to tarnish that.
He's a part owner, and, you know, if he simply cares about the organization, maybe he would be compelled to do it, knowing it's relatively short-term. I'm admitting right now it is.
I hear you.
It is far-fetched, but
right.
But there are options anyway, so.
Right.
We'll see.
Well,
I saw something.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The last thing on that. I saw something about Theo Epstein. His hopes in the future is to become commissioner of Major League Baseball. I don't think in his future he sees coming back to being the person in charge of baseball operations for this team. I don't see it. I don't think the Boston Red Sox are ever going to spend the way that they did in the past. I think they have other plans that, you know, it's outside of the game of baseball. I think Theo knows it himself. I'm confident that he could have done a way better job than Craig Breslow, but I'm pretty sure Theo, knowing the ins and outs of the Boston Red Sox, he understands where the Boston Red Sox are today, and I don't think that he'll be interested in being in charge of that. I don't see it.
Let's shift over into the Red Sox-Yankees series, because I am personally curious to know how either one of you guys have this one rated. I personally don't have it rated well. I think as bad as we did in this series, we're actually going to do worse in the next one. I actually have the Red Sox getting swept in the next series. You got Sonny Gray against Ryan Weathers. Sonny Gray, former Yankee, never could handle the pressure, and I don't think he's going to get it done in New York. I don't think he's going to do well with anybody Yankees-related. I think they're absolutely going to tune him up. Ranger Suarez has the second lowest run support in the American League behind, I think it was Tanner Bibee from the Cleveland Guardians series. They were showing that graphic as well. He's facing Will Warren, who's 7-1 this year. Don't think he's going to lose. And then you get Conley Early against Cam Schlittler, who is the AL frontrunner for the Cy Young, who's got a 1.89 ERA and a 7-3 record. His ERA literally is half that of like Ranger Suarez. It's or a little bit more, but still it's absolutely crazy. I don't have any high hopes for this Red Sox series against the Yankees. I think we're going to get swept 0-3. Juan.
Yeah, the Yankees are head and shoulders above the Boston Red Sox. I'm actually going to tomorrow night. This is part of a double date. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm going to be there. I feel the Boston Red Sox are going to get swept. Maybe it works out that they actually win a game or two, because every time I pick against them, they actually end up winning games. So, hey, I'm predicting the Red Sox will get swept in hopes that they at least get a game. There's nothing much to say about this team. They're a bad team, and they will find new ways to lose games. And I just wouldn't be surprised if, yet again, they go into this series and get swept against a much better team in the New York Yankees.
Terry.
In Friday's matchup, I don't really love it for the Red Sox. You got Sonny Gray. That used to be his house of horrors. We'll see how he does. He'll be facing off against Ryan Weathers, 3.52 ERA and a lefty. I just don't like how all that meshes. I think the most winnable game will be Saturday night. That's a 7:35 p.m. start. That's Ranger Suarez versus Will Warren. You know, that Yankee Stadium is tailor-made for a guy like Suarez to just go in there and just kind of own it. You know, he loves that type of hostility, and that's the guy you want. And being a lefty, I don't know how Aaron Boone's going to, you know, situate his lineup that night. But, you know, it's the most lefty-friendly park in Major League Baseball, and perhaps Ranger Suarez will be taking that away from him. And then on Sunday, you have Connelly Early versus Cam Schlittler. Schlittler has owned us every single time. And, you know, he's got a sub-2 ERA. Yeah.
You know the first time they face each other, right? Schlittler against Connelly Early?
That was the wild card series.
That was the wild card series. That was when Cam Schlittler said, "I am baseball Jesus. I'm going to strike everybody out. And your guy just isn't going to do that." That was a great game to watch. That was so much fun. Joking.
I think he pitched 8 innings too that night. If I'm not
he
mistaken.
Shoved that day. He absolutely shoved.
So, I mean, I'm not going to pick against Schlittler until there's a reason. It's too bad we're not seeing Garrett Cole. That would have been fun. But yeah, and I'll say this about the Yankees. They're probably not going to have Aaron Judge back, and he could be out for quite some time. He's getting testing done by all kinds of specialists. It's a shoulder related thing. So, and it sounds serious. I wouldn't be surprised if his season is over. That's how catastrophic it could be, but we'll see. I think the Red Sox will find a way to win one, but we'll see. A sweep wouldn't shock me either.
Why is there a need of Aaron Judge if you have Ben Rice batting 300 and essentially playing like Aaron Judge? I mean, the Yankees just come up with ways to find these players time and time again.
Good teams
find a way. The good teams find a way to win. I still don't have trust or belief that this team can win this series against the Yankees. No way.
Yeah.
Plus, you have Cody Bellinger. Jazz Chisholm can show up and have a big series. Paul Goldschmidt, not hitting for a ton of power, but, you know, he's hitting 276 with a 360 on base. He could raise some hell. Trent Grisham seems to give us fits. I don't know. I just they have a very good lineup. And say what you want about Brian Cashman not being able to get a ring, but at least they're automatically in the postseason every year, and we're not. So
I don't have anything else to add. Juan, do you?
Nothing else. Fire Breslow.
Yeah, seriously. As we've been saying, Fire Breslow podcast, we stand by it. For all of the bastards, that is going to do it for us. Everyone have a great one. And if you are looking for some